What is up, everybody? Welcome back to another episode of Sava FC. This is Antonio, and as always, I'm here with Anthony.
What's going on, everyone?
So today, we're going to be talking about this past weekend's EPL games, Serie A games, but also there's a very important rumor going around right now.
Well, I don't know if it's a rumor so much as it's almost a done deal. We'll find out maybe by tomorrow afternoon.
Yeah, but what we've learned in the world of football is that almost a done deal technically never gets done.
That's true.
Because at this point, Harry Kane should be at Manchester City, right?
He is, though. He is when he's playing FIFA.
Yeah. So, Ronaldo.
Ronaldo.
Not Ronaldo from Real Madrid or that Brazil. Played at AC Milan. Right. The Ronaldo.
CR7, Cristiano Ronaldo. To me, it seems like maybe he was upset that Messi got all the
attention.
Attention, yeah. You know, and he decided, I'm gonna pull a stunt right before the transfer deadline's over.
Here's what bothers me. He came out with a statement, right? Saying, I don't appreciate everybody in the media talking about me, saying that I want to leave at Juventus. I'm here. I have a job to do. You know, releases this whole statement, but now he's begging to leave Juventus?
If I remember correctly, that statement came out before Messi left Barcelona.
No, it did not. It did not. It came out a week ago.
Oh, was it a week ago?
Yeah, not too
because
long.
He wants to make the statement himself. He doesn't want anybody else doing it for him.
Right, but if these guys are making statements, listen, most of these journalists, yes, they have to sell copies of whatever paper they work for or, you know, get right. Clicks online. It is, we understand that. But there's always a little bit of truth to it.
Absolutely.
It has to start somewhere.
Absolutely.
Everybody has a connection that knows that Ronaldo's unhappy at Juventus. And to be honest, I would be too. They signed Ronaldo with the hopes of winning a Champions League. And they've gone into full rebuild mode.
Right. And what? We're going on the third manager now? Third coach?
We're back at Allegri. So, right. Yeah, technically he's the third.
Third, right. So, yeah, I get it. But at the same time, I think it's a ego-driven situation. They got a team to possibly do it this year, but
they don't. See, here's the thing. Juventus, I think Ronaldo's first year there had a team to possibly do it. But then under Sarri and Pirlo, they went full rebuild mode. Juventus is still a great team.
Sure.
But Ronaldo damages them more than he helps them.
Absolutely. I said it today to a friend that I think Juve will be better off without him.
Oh, yeah. But listen, it's just like the graphic we posted on our Instagram on Sunday, right? No Ronaldo, no problem.
Right.
Seems to me Juve was up 2-0 before Ronaldo got onto the field.
Yeah, you're right.
Yeah.
And he came in and scored a header that was offsides.
Well, hold up. It's debatable whether that was really offsides.
I mean, his, you know, shirt sleeve was offsides.
But the thing is, if you look at the line, they saw Ronaldo's hand. That's where they started the offside line from. But if you check his shoulder was onside. And technically, you're not supposed to call offside if a body part that you can't score with is offside. So the ref might have blown the call on that one.
Right.
However, now he wants to leave. I think it's the best thing for Juve.
Yeah.
They do want to try to make some money off of him. But there's one serious interested team.
Manchester City.
Right. They got the money to do it. They know that Gabriel Jesus isn't going to be enough. Right?
Yeah.
They were extremely close to winning a Champions League last year. Pep must be getting fed up.
Well,
right?
You know what it is too, is that I think Pep's going on his sixth year. He's publicly stated that he's leaving after 7 years. He wants to coach a national team, you know, go on to bigger and better things. So I think maybe he wants to try to win one before he leaves. So you sit there with your bosses and you try to say, hey, we got to pull something off here.
Right. If we have the opportunity, let's do it. And Ronaldo up top for them would be amazing.
Yeah.
He's what they're missing, you know? Yeah. I want to see, though, how this all plays out if he doesn't go to Manchester City.
It would kind of remind me of when a child wants ice cream and their parents say no and then stomps their feet for the next 32 Sundays in a row.
But if I were him, I'd let him stomp for the next year. I don't care. If this Manchester City thing falls through, the organization, Juve, has to just put him on the bench. this guy is going to become more of a cancer
for
your team than anything else. You have young guys in Chiesa. Dybala still a baller, okay? You got Kulusevski on the bench.
Fantastic on Sunday.
Yeah, Dybala, listen, this is Dybala's year.
Yeah.
Dybala is back. He's playing under Allegri. This guy's having a rebirth this year. He's going to be phenomenal. Let them play.
Right.
Leave Ronaldo on the bench. Juve doesn't need him, especially for what they're doing. They got a good project going.
Yeah.
Don't ruin it by forcing Ronaldo.
Let's hope McKinney stays on and
well, the news with McKinney is that Allegri's open to getting rid of him. He doesn't fit into the plans.
Right.
Which we had this whole debate when we were talking about Berhalter and, you know, the U.S. national team. Berhalter said Allegri's going to be a good coach for McKinney, but I was always skeptical.
Yeah, you said it. You said it.
I didn't believe that Allegri would like a player like McKinney, which is a shame because they could really use him.
They could. But to go ahead. What
real quick, I'm going to cut you off. One last thing on this Ronaldo transfer. How do you start your career with Manchester United, okay, explode onto the scene, and then go play for City?
Well, I'm telling you, when you have an ego like his and you want things your way, it doesn't matter.
He's just a mercenary at this point.
That's it.
Unbelievable.
So,
if I were Man United, all the fans that love and praise Ronaldo still to this day, boo him anytime he steps foot onto an English.
I can see them burning his jerseys if they haven't already.
They wouldn't already. Anybody who leaves for Real Madrid or Barcelona, especially back when he did, it was understandable. But I'm saying if he comes to Man City, first of all, I don't know how many Manchester United Ronaldo jerseys are still around. But if there are a few, we might see some being burned.
Right. But I was going to go on to say, you had called the Weston McKinney Allegri not working out weeks ago.
Yeah.
You've also are on the brink of making another prediction come true.
Which one is that?
Jorginho winning Ballon d'Or. He wins the Player of the Year, and that's going to really boost
the votes. This was the UEFA Men's Player of the Year that he won, though.
Right.
Which, listen,
it's going to boost the votes.
Absolutely, but he won the team competition organized by UEFA, the Champions League.
Yep.
All right, and then he won the international competition organized by UEFA, the Euro Cup.
Right.
So it only made sense that he should have gotten that. And he was a major part of every game for both of those teams.
Exactly.
In my head, there is nobody but Jorginho who deserves the Ballon d'Or this year.
Absolutely. I mean, we can go back and talk about the stats he put up.
For anybody listening, just go listen back to our episode.
Yeah, exactly. That's exactly what I was going to say.
I explain everything in there, all statistic about why Jorginho should win this thing. Moving on.
Let's go.
We're talking about the EPL a lot.
Let's talk about what happened this past weekend.
What'd you think?
I think we had our first tie for the EPL this weekend, which was fine. I think it was still a good game. But I want to talk about the Villa game.
Go ahead.
That bicycle kick.
By Danny Ings.
Oh, my God.
Danny Ings.
Not only was it a beautiful bicycle kick, but that thing went into the back of the net at 100 miles per hour. Nobody was stopping that thing. It all started from a throw-in. A basic, fundamental play. It was unbelievable.
Listen, props to Danny Ings for, one, being able to score that, but the throw-in as well was a thing of beauty. I like Aston Villa. I don't know if they're going to win anything, but they're definitely not going to get relegated. We know that.
No, not at all.
But they look like a good side right now.
They look good.
They're fun to watch.
Exactly.
That's what I like about them.
Yeah. We had Tottenham pulled one off, 1-0 against Man City. Actually, no, I'm going back. We're talking, that's 2 weeks ago. Tottenham did win with Dele Alli scoring, I think, within 8 minutes or 9 minutes of the game starting.
Right, but it was against the Wolves.
And that's right.
If you watch that game, realistically, the Wolves should have I'm not saying they deserve to win it, but they deserve to at least tie it.
Tie it, right.
There was a lot of
after
errors.
After that goal, it was pretty much sit back and...
It was just very back and forth,
right.
And they had golden opportunities, all right? Especially Traore. Traore had a few opportunities to do something, and he didn't. He just didn't.
He didn't.
So, listen, good for Tottenham, right?
Yeah,
they won two games in a row, one against Man City. Wolves, they're not a great team, but they're not a bad team either. So,
Now, this is another one, too. Before we were talking about Juve, no Ronaldo, no problem. This was another one. No Kane, no problem.
Right, but Kane did end up coming
on. He ended up coming on, but they already were winning.
Kane was another one. He could have made it 2-0 for Tottenham, and he ended up missing.
He was trying to be fancy, trying to meg the keeper, and that was the end.
I don't know if he was trying to be fancy. It was, you know, still fresh, new into the game, and he missed the first one. Sometimes things happen that work out. Sometimes they don't work out. So I don't blame Kane for what happened, but he definitely could have had a goal.
Right. And then here's a team that we promised that we'd talk more about, and that's Liverpool. Liverpool played Burnley. They won 2-0 off of two beautiful goals.
You know what I love about Liverpool right now?
What's that?
Granted, they played Norwich City first week. They played Burnley this week. But they have 5 goals for, 0 against. The defense is there.
Right.
The defense is solid.
They're playing those weaker teams the way they should be.
And which you can go back and look. We'll talk about a few more other games in a second. But the defense is what's going to make the difference in this Premier League. Because if you can defend against the bigs as well, those games are close. And in such a high-scoring league, to not let one of the little teams score a goal against you, that goal differential is going to be huge down towards the end of the season.
Yeah, absolutely. And we'll see. We'll see this weekend because they're playing Chelsea. So we'll see how their defense pans out.
I'm excited about that one. Man United Southampton. Did you watch that game?
No, I did not. That was 1-0. Or no, that was 1-1. That was a tie.
So Man United started week one on fire, okay? And then week two, they fizzled out. And it was funny. Remember how in last week's podcast I was saying, like, you know the team is doing something right when even Fred scores?
Right.
Well, Fred scored again this week, but it was an own goal. That's what I'm saying.
Like, right, right.
Fred he's got to get off that pitch. I don't know what Man United is still doing playing Fred, but get him off. But yeah, Man United, I mean, listen, Greenwood scored again.
Yep.
Which is huge. Yep. It's consistent. So two games, 2 goals.
2 goals, right.
The team is there. They had a little bit of a setback this week because I think they started on too much of a high. But the more I'm watching Man United, the more I'm starting to rethink that they might be able to push into the top three this season. Not if they drop more points like this.
I was going to say, I mean, we'll see. I mean, it's still early, but I think I put them at 3 or 4 on my list.
Somewhere up there. I mean, if I had to redo it right now, for me, it's between Man City, Liverpool, and Chelsea, and I hold them all on the same tier for the top three. It's a gamble. You don't know who's going to go where.
Right, right.
So,
and then you have Chelsea versus Arsenal.
Which, for everybody listening, so Anthony had to come over my house that day to help me set up my television, because I'm a stunad and I don't know how to do it. And we got it set up right as the Chelsea-Arsenal game was starting. Right. And you were saying, this is going to be a good game. And I said, probably, but it's going to be 3-0 Chelsea, right?
Yeah.
I was off by a goal.
But Lukaku, again, he's proven his worth in 2 games already.
I thought he didn't play the last game.
But didn't he score in the last game?
Pretty sure he didn't. Lukaku, this was his first... his first game that he made his debut. Yeah, last game was Chalobah, Pulisic, and Alonso.
Okay.
Lukaku didn't even play.
All right, my bad.
But his first game back, and he already scores. Right? And
then,
listen, that Reece James goal, unbelievable. So, they're getting goals from wherever they can, however they can. It's impressive. I love watching Chelsea play. I might start... I may be becoming a little bit of a Chelsea fan. I'm not going to lie.
Well, you know, I said it before. I think Chelsea's going to be the team to beat once Lukaku came on.
We do have to see how everything plays out with Champions League, though. So once Champions League starts, we'll get to see these teams a little bit better. Are they going to drop silly points? Or are they going to be able to keep up the momentum that they're building early on? So it'll be interesting to see.
Got West Ham. Leicester City, West Ham goes up 4-1.
There was a red card in that game, I believe.
Yeah, there was. I'm trying to think.
It was Perez who had a red card for Leicester.
Yep.
Listen, Tielemans scored for Leicester, but obviously that wasn't going to be enough.
Antonio scores 2.
So Antonio's on fire. Yeah,
that's 3 for him so far for the season.
Yeah. He's got 2 games, 3 goals. He's tied with, who is it, Jota that's at top? No.
No, 3's Fernandez still.
Yep, because of that first game.
Yeah.
I think Antonio's going to have a good season. Yeah. I mean, just granted, Leicester is a better team, But I want to see West Ham against these bigger teams. They're sitting up there at first right now after 2 weeks. They look like they can score. So now we have to see how they held up against the bigger sides.
Right.
My storyline is still on Antonio, though. I think Antonio is going to have... Did you see him celebrate after he scored?
No, I did not.
He celebrated with a cardboard cutout of himself.
That's because it was... He scored the goal that surpassed the that current team record for most goals scored by a single player.
Maybe, possibly. That I didn't know.
Yeah.
But I know he celebrated with the cutout. It was hysterical, meme-worthy. Listen, I think he's going to have an exciting season. So coming up this weekend, we got Man City Arsenal. I'm going Man City here, okay? There's no doubt in my mind Man City will thrash
Arsenal. Before we go to Man City or Arsenal, we didn't even talk about the thrashing they gave Norwich City 5-0.
I mean, is it really worth talking about? Norwich City is up in this league by the grace of God.
What's that, two games in a row for Man City?
Well, no. Man City lost the first one to Tottenham.
Oh, that's right. That's right.
So Man City lost the first one to Tottenham. Then they go and play Norwich City, who also lost to Liverpool the week before by 3-0.
Who won two games in a row scoring three or more goals?
I want to say Chelsea. No.
No,
Chelsea
West Ham. Two. West Ham scored four last week, four this week.
Right. But like I said, West Ham is
right.
Remains to be seen what happens with them. But listen, let's move on.
Yeah.
Because we could talk
Man
about
Man City, Arsenal. What are you calling that? 5-0?
No, Man City, Arsenal, I'm honestly going to call a 1-0 game for Man City. I think Arsenal's probably going to try to wake up a little bit, but it's going to be too late. I'm going 1-0 Man City.
Liverpool, Chelsea, that's a sexy game right there. I think Chelsea's going to pull this one off.
See,
2-1.
I'm going Liverpool. Liverpool, Chelsea. I think this is going to be Chelsea's first real big test, okay? They're away. Fans are back.
Right.
There is nothing like the atmosphere at Anfield.
Sure.
When Liverpool's playing at home.
Sure.
So I'm giving this one to Liverpool. I think it's going to be a 3-1 win by Liverpool.
Okay.
That's what I'm saying.
I want to pay attention to this Villa game against Brentford. I think Villa's going to win this one too. 2-1.
See, I don't know. I've been pretty impressed with Brentford. Brentford might be able to pull it off here. So we'll have to see. And then we got Wolves, Man United. I think I want to say Wolves. I really, really want to say Wolves, but I think it's going to be Man United.
And Tottenham, Watford. I think Tottenham will pull another one off.
For sure.
I think Kane will start this one.
Against Watford, there's no doubt in my mind.
No, I think he's got his head right. I think that's what Nuno said, that he needs to get his head right before he can start playing. So his head's right. He knows he's not going anywhere, so his head's right.
That's it for the season. But these are the games coming up. We're excited to watch them, analyze them after they play them next week. But before we move on to today's second part of the episode, going over the Serie A games, we're going to take a quick little anchor break. And we're back. And now for my favorite part of the episode, we talk about some Serie A.
Serie A was exciting. First week.
It was hell of exciting.
It was. I want to quickly touch base on our video that we posted on Instagram, our predictions. Right now, we're even 5-5. We'll keep tally, and at the end of the season, we'll see who gets the most predictions correct, and the loser has to buy sushi for the winner.
All right, listen, I'm more than down with that, but the problem here is that we're going to keep betting against each other's teams. I'm never going to pick Milan to win, and you're never going to pick Napoli to win.
No, I will. Right. I gotta be fair sometimes.
Listen, after this weekend, I will say, you have a better shot of predicting Napoli to win the Scudetto than Arsenal to win the Premier League.
That's true.
Napoli looked good.
Now, I don't know about you, but I'm watching the game on my couch with Marcello. We both got yellow cards. He got a yellow card for picking his nose. I got a yellow card for scratching my head. Did you get a yellow card? Because everybody else on the field got a yellow card.
I felt like I got a yellow card. Let's talk about Aureliano completely ruining that game as a referee.
Okay? What was it, 11 yellow cards and one
nine.
Red card?
Or nine yellow cards.
And one red card. Which, the red card, I got to tell you right now, ridiculous.
Absolutely ridiculous. If what Osimhen did is a red card, Chiellini should be red carded every game that he plays.
Right. If they're going to go to VAR for a uniform sleeve being offsides, they should have went to VAR on that one and looked and saw that the guy Oh, right. the fall.
Look, was it violent from Osimhen? Yeah, absolutely. However, that's a warning, especially so early in the game.
Yellow card.
Freaking red card the guy.
Yellow card. You don't try to dictate the game.
However, this should be a lesson to Osimhen. Grow up.
Right.
We paid, not we, I didn't spend anything. Napoli paid 80 million euros for you as a striker at 21 years old. Show us what you're worth, grow up, and stop doing stupid things on the field. That's the only way I look at it. People may say, oh, but he's passionate. No, grow up.
That was impassionate. He could have turned around and pushed the defender off like we all do on a corner kicks.
Right.
But that's still not a red card.
Or shrug them off. You know, like let's reference the 06 World Cup where Materazzi whispered some profanity in Zidane's ear and ended up having Zidane get the red card. Right. You know, be smart. Do something like that. Don't choke a guy on the field in front of the referee.
Right.
So, listen, when I saw that happen, right on top of my head, I said, damn it, Anthony's going to be right. Napoli's going to drop this game. Because under Gattuso and Ancelotti's second year, this is a game that Napoli would lose. Especially after Insigne missing the PK.
Oh.
All right? Morale would go down. Heads would go down.
I had flashbacks when he missed that PK.
To what?
World Cup 1994. Baggio missing.
It wasn't that important. Relax.
It wasn't, but still. It
wasn't that important. So I'm used to seeing Napoli in these situations just not being able to do it, all right? That's why last year under pressure we lost to Verona, missed out on qualifying for the Champions League. It's just typical Napoli fashion. They don't have the mindset to overcome these tough games, but not under Spalletti. And this is why I love Spalletti as a coach. Not only does he work on their physical part of the game, but he works on the mental part of the game. And he has them ready to go to war under any circumstance. And that's what those guys did.
Right. It was definitely a war out there. Because it's hard. You start off a game 11-11, and then all of a sudden your striker gets red carded, what?
But not only does
22
your
minutes into the game?
Right. But not only does your striker get red carded, then Zielinski, one of your top midfielders,
gets hurt, goes down.
35th minute. You got to sub him off, right? We're already without Diego Demme, okay? Lobotka, who played the entire game at midfield, I don't think has ever played an entire game in his 3 years at Napoli.
You know what? I just realized just now, is Mertens back from his injury?
No, and Mertens is still out too. Right, so now we have Osimhen go out, okay? Our only available attacker on the bench technically is Petagna, who he came in, but much later on into the game, because Spalletti knew the way this game was, we needed to keep our speed up top.
Right.
That's why Elmas came in. You saw him drift out wide a little bit, and Insigne take over that like center forward role.
Sure.
It was the only way we were going to have a chance to use our speed against them. I'm pretty sure, no, Lozano was available. Lozano ended up coming on, so he's fine. But he got binged up in the Gold Cup, if you remember.
Yeah.
So he was going to be out for a little while. He's not fully healthy yet either. Everything was written. The script was written for this Napoli to lose this game, but they pulled through.
You know, I'm going to go this weekend. I'm going to look up some stats. I want to see teams that get a red card, how often they lose. I feel like you see more teams that have a player to get red carded end up winning because the team that has the extra man get a little overconfident.
I'm going to disagree with you. We'll look it up.
Yeah.
We'll come back. Actually, you know what we'll do? We're going to ask our viewers what they think.
Yeah.
Okay? You're thinking that the team who gets the red card ends up winning. I'm thinking the opposite. Okay? And we'll put it on next week's podcast.
Sounds good.
But yeah, so Napoli gets off to a fire start. 2-0 win. Awesome to see it. Another game that was exciting to watch. Inter-Genoa.
Oh, my God.
First game. A little bit of a delayed reaction there, Ant.
Yeah, because I was hoping you'd go Milan-Sampdoria, but we'll get to that afterwards.
So Inter-Genoa, not taking anything away from Inter, but Genoa just looked like a bunch of body bags out there.
I think they're going to get relegated next week.
They might this year. This might be the year Genoa goes down.
I couldn't figure it out. I was watching it on my phone, and I was sitting with my father-in-law, and we just were like, couldn't believe it. It, like you said, stiffs out there. Yeah. Where they were in shock and awe of Inter being. I don't get it. I don't understand. They didn't look ready at all.
They didn't. As I stated before, I didn't think Inter was going to be this strong. losing Lukaku was going to affect him, okay? But they made a seamless transition. It looked like this Milan will once again challenge for the Scudetto, which before I saw them play this first game, I had them out of the Scudetto race. I really did.
That second goal by...
Çalhanoğlu.
Yes. What a goal. He had to be 19, 20 yards out. Cannon.
Beauty of a goal. But I'm just more impressed with Inter Milan playing in Milan. And the storyline is first goal of the season in Serie A scored by a guy named Milan. Milan.
Yeah.
Come on. You can't make this stuff up. It was beautiful.
And
the header off the corner. I mean, just fantastic.
Yeah. And Dzeko scored his goal too, coming on.
Yep, you know. Dzeko right at the end. Dzeko scored at like the 87th minute. And then old reliable, Arturo Vidal.
Yeah.
All right, very familiar with this league.
Vidal was first and then Dzeko was last.
Yes. Arturo Vidal scored at the 74th. But old reliable had a stint with Udinese. No, Vidal wasn't with Udinese. Vidal was with Juventus. I was trying to think if he was with another Italian team, but I don't think he was. So Vidal with Inter gets his opportunity, scores a goal against Genoa. You know, this team is looking good. Inter's going to challenge. They're going to prove me wrong for sure. I definitely didn't think they were going to win anything.
No Lukaku, no problem.
Yeah. No Ronaldo, no problem. Listen, let these guys leave. It looks like our teams are just fine until we get to the Champions League.
Roma beat Fiorentina 3-1.
Right, which... I really thought Fiorentina was going to pull this upset off.
Yeah.
But I think Italiano needs some more time.
Immobile scored 3 goals. Just joking.
First of all, he plays for Lazio. We're not.
Oh, you're right. You're right. What am I talking about? Jesus. It's late at night, folks. We're exhausted.
So, Roma Fiorentina. No Immobile. No problem. But.
Exactly. For real.
Tammy Abram.
Oh, unbelievable.
Tammy Abram,
another one who signs on and does what he's got to do.
Roma hasn't had a guy like Tammy Abram in the past 2 seasons, I think. Okay? He assisted both of the goals, hit a post. He's making the runs into the box, the way he, you know, splits the field. The guy just looks fantastic.
The other thing, too, that I noticed, he's a giant.
Yeah, listen.
Among men out there.
He's athletic, he's young, and this is where it kills Chelsea to let a guy like Tammy Abram go, because they have so much talent, they obviously can't retain all of it.
Right.
And Tammy Abram doesn't feel important at Chelsea. He was happy to be there and play with them. But now Mourinho went after you, and this kid's going, Mourinho wants me to be his priority.
Right.
Why wouldn't I go to Roma and be the top guy there instead of wasting my time on the bench here?
This is the Roma project, right, according to Mourinho. So, and I love him. I think he's a phenomenal coach.
I really thought it was going to take Mourinho a little bit more time to get the, you know, to get the ball running.
No
here.
Way. I don't think so.
No, I think Roma's ready.
Yeah.
Roma is going to compete this year. They're the real deal.
They might have. I think I put them at 5th.
We got to bump them up. Who is it? Your cousin Steve's the Roma fan?
Yeah.
Steve, if you're listening, I apologize for not even putting Roma in my top 5. They look good.
Yeah.
All right. They might make a push for top 3 this year.
And guess what? They don't have Immobile.
Which is probably their saving grace. But you know who they also don't have that when he comes back will be phenomenal?
Who's that?
Spinazzola.
Oh, yeah.
Can you think about this team when Spinazzola comes back from his injury in probably about 3 months, okay? It's going to basically be like a new transfer player for them. Work him into this lineup. They're going to be solid.
My question is he still going to have that same speed after this injury?
I hope so.
It's exciting to watch him. I mean, he's just so freaking fast.
But, you know, you get Spinazzola back. They still got Veretout and Mkhitaryan, and you're going to have Tammy Abram up top. And the best thing that could have happened to them was letting Dzeko leave and replacing him with Abram. I'm a big Dzeko fan. I love Dzeko, whatever you want to call it. I think he's better suited for Inter right now, though, than he was at Roma the past 2 seasons. They're going to be good. That's it. There's no other way to put it. They're going to be a fun team to watch, too, under Mourinho. That's what I like about them.
Udinese, Juventus.
What a game.
What a disappointment.
I wasn't disappointed.
Well, it's a disappointment for Juventus, right? Because you got Udinese's there, and the last 3 or 4 times that they've seen each other, Juve's won 3-0, 4-0, whatever the case may be. But for me, the one thing that stands out was the keeper's blunder. He got a little too confident. A little too confident.
I'll tell you what, Buffon wouldn't have made that mistake.
No, he wouldn't have.
I don't understand what was going through Chesney's head. But honestly, before we even get there, let's recap the game. First goal, Dybala, what was it?
3 minutes. Three minutes,
okay. Dybala scores. All right, like I told you, this is Dybala's rebirth year. He's going to be phenomenal. He's going to tear up this league. He's going to be exactly the excitement that not only was Juventus missing, but Serie A was missing as a whole.
And now if things work out the way, he's going to be the man there.
Which he should have been 3 years ago, right, even when Ronaldo showed up.
Yeah, but okay, you know, Ronaldo shows up and everybody else gets cast aside. So
is what it is. I hope Juve learns from their mistakes. Last year was a different, you know, scenario for Dybala. He was fighting COVID and he had a tough time coming back from COVID.
I'm trying to remember. I know it was 5 days ago, whatever, how many days. Dybala had the captain armband on, correct? Or am I thinking, I can't remember.
That I'm not sure. I don't remember who was wearing the captain's armband. I'm going to be honest, that's like the last thing I look at now.
Is that right?
I never even watch for the captain's armband anymore.
So, yeah, he was the captain.
Yep, no, you were right. So we just looked it up so everybody would be aware. Dybala was the captain.
And listen,
that says a lot. Because yeah, if you remember Allegri's speech at the beginning of the season, he said a guy like Bonucci isn't going to get the captain's band because he wants leaders. He wants guys that are going to bleed black and white.
Right. But at the same time, too, Bonucci's, you know, he's older. Yes, he's a veteran.
No.
You don't think
you're missing the point. The whole reason that he said he was never going to pick Bonucci to be his captain is because Bonucci left, went to AC Milan, and then came back. And he said, Bonucci wants to be a captain, he could go buy the armband at a store and play with it in the park.
Wait a minute. Well, I guess he went and came back. Yeah. Dybala was with Napoli, too. So,
What? In what world was Dybala with Napoli?
Wasn't he with the...
No.
You sure?
Positive.
100%.
Yes. I will fight you on this
one. We got to stop doing these shows at 11 o'clock at night.
Dybala came from Palermo. Napoli was interested in buying him when Juventus did.
Okay.
But he went from Palermo straight to Juventus. He's been there ever since, and he loves Juventus. This guy won't leave Juventus. There's been multiple opportunities for him.
Well, good
to
for
do
him
so.
Because you know what? You don't get players like that too often.
No, you don't.
Who's the last one to stay at his club from the jump? Totti, from the beginning.
Oh, yeah.
You know? Never left.
He's been a one-club man.
I mean, Messi would have been, too, if Barcelona wasn't $1 billion in debt, couldn't afford him.
Yeah.
But
it was tough.
Whatever. Next game, we could talk about Lazio, Empoli, Immobile. He was there. Pretty sure he was not in Roma at the same time. That was 3-1 Lazio. Immobile did score on a penalty kick.
But that's Immobile's bread and butter.
That's it, penalties. Yeah.
The penalty kicks. That's why he's always in contention every year for the golden boot of the league. He's just, listen, from the PK spot, unless it's against Napoli, he's consistently good there.
Last but not least, we'll touch on Milan versus Sampdoria. For me, as a Milan fan, you know, it's the first game. They didn't look like they were firing all cylinders.
Hold up. Wait a second. Before we fire on any cylinders, I'm just realizing, I don't know why we even talked about Lazio Empoli. Empoli's crap. Not even worth bringing up. We didn't finish talking about what happened in the Juve game. So back to Juve, Udinese, okay? Dybala scores, third minute in, right? Then we have Cuadrado coming in and scoring, making it 2-0.
He's a phenomenal player.
I love Cuadrado. The only thing against him right now is he's getting old.
Right.
But listen, he's still there. He's
when you
good.
Say getting old, how old can he possibly be? He's not. He can't be 30, 31 years old.
Cuadrado, I'm pretty sure, is in his 30s. He might even be 33.
Wow.
But anyway, first half ends, okay? 2-0. Now, second half starts, and shortly after, Juve gives up a PK. Pereira, who also had a stint at Juventus,
yep,
scores the PK for Udinese. Okay, no big deal. 2-1. Juve could still easily win this game. Ronaldo comes onto the pitch. Like I said, I think the quality of play for Juventus goes down when Ronaldo enters the field.
Because they're looking to send that ball to one person and one person only.
They're forcing everything to him, right? Juve's quality of play goes down. Then you had that total blunder by Chesney in the back, okay? And Deulofeu was able to put the ball into the back of the net after the blunder.
Right. Well, you got to give them credit, too, because they never stopped. They kept on going, you know. So you got to give them credit where credit's due. And he is 33 years old. You're right.
I'm hardly ever wrong.
You are sometimes.
I know my stuff when it comes to soccer, though. 2-2, Udinese Juve. I really think it could have been an easy Juve win. But sometimes it's interesting to see the big teams lose points this early on.
Right.
Will they recover from it? Will it take them time to adjust to Allegri again? You know, it's all these different things.
I think they'll recover. And I think if Ronaldo does, in fact, leave, you'll see, an exciting team out there. They're not going to be looking for that one player. It's going to be spread out all over the place.
I called it weeks ago. I think Juve is going to be the one to win the Serie A this year. So I wouldn't be surprised. And I think they'll do better, like you said, if Ronaldo does end up leaving.
So then we have Napoli-Sampdoria. Milan-Sampdoria.
For everybody listening, we're never recording at 11 o'clock at night again because Anthony is Looney Tunes right now.
Exhausted.
So
Milan-Sampdoria.
What'd you think of your favorite team?
It wasn't firing all cylinders. You got guys that are still, you know, trying to fill the spots, but Calabria looked good. Brahim looked good. They connected. They scored. They held them to 1-0. But
against the Sampdoria, that's all you really needed to do.
That's it. So we'll see what happens. I'm excited for them.
After seeing Çalhanoğlu score at Inter, I said, man, Milan's got to be pissed that they lost that player, especially to their cross-city rivals. It's not even cross-city. It's the same damn city. But it's crazy how Brahim, who stepped up and took that number 10, is the one that scored a goal for AC Milan on opening day for Serie A and give him the win. I'm excited to see what Brahim can become.
And not only that, they gave him the captain's armband.
Brahim was the captain?
Yes, sir.
Wow, I didn't even realize
that.
Yes,
sir.
So what's going on with Romagnoli?
I don't know. Hernandez looked good. Tomori looked good. Kjaer looked good. I mean, these guys all look good individually, but as a team,
They got some work to do. But look, like we were talking about Tammy Abraham before, you know, like too much talent over at Chelsea.
Yeah.
Brahim Diaz is another player with that issue, you know, signed by Real Madrid, owned by Real Madrid, and not getting the time or the exposure over there. And also, Real Madrid hasn't won anything in a few years since Ronaldo left. So Milan wants to make me the guy. The history that AC Milan has, like when you think of AC Milan, the name itself just oozes trophies.
Yeah, absolutely.
They want me to be their number 10.
Yeah.
Brahim made the right choice. Yeah, absolutely.
And I didn't even touch on Giroud. He's another one. Like, damn it. He's tall. He's huge.
Completely different style players.
I'm talking about height. Okay. That's all I'm talking about.
Okay.
I didn't realize how tall he is. He's a tall guy.
He's like 6'2", 6'3",
He did well, too. He missed a header. I think it hit the crossbar, but, you know. We'll see what happens.
Listen, there's one thing that you can see that Milan is doing, at least. With all these old strikers, at least they'll be able to alternate them.
Right. You're going to see him and Ibra swapping out all the time. Right.
Is Mandzukic still at AC Milan, or was he released? So it looks like Mandzukic isn't at Milan anymore either. So it's going to be Giroud, Ibrahimovic, Rafael Leao. Those are the guys that we're going to be looking as the strikers up top for AC.
I think they'll do well.
I think so as well. I mean, you guys just acquired Florenzi.
Yep.
That was a good signing for AC Milan. Bring him back to Serie A.
So, the thing with Florenzi coming over, he plays on the same side as Calabria. So, I think, you know, that'll be...
But he's going to be a great mentor for Calabria.
Yeah.
And it's going to give Calabria the opportunity to get that well-needed rest. Because you know damn well, knock on wood, okay? God forbid an injury. Theo Hernandez does not need any breaks.
Right.
The guy's a unit.
I know.
So you're fine on your left side with Theo Hernandez. Calabria and Florenzi, though, I think that's a good partnership. They can learn. Calabria can learn a lot from Florenzi.
Yeah, absolutely.
And it's something that'll work for AC Milan. But coming up this week, I got to be honest. I don't think we have anything too exciting for Serie A this week. I mean, Inter Milan, Verona. But I will say this. Verona, to me, this year is a relegation side team. I don't see Verona succeeding without their coach.
I'm guessing that game's going to be 4-5-0 as well.
It might be. Might easily be. You have Napoli-Genoa, like we just said. Genoa looked terrible, so unless they pick something up, that's going to be another game easy for Napoli. Milan plays Cagliari, which Cagliari tied Spezia 2-2. And listen, we were talking about it on our Instagram. Spezia should not be taken for granted, okay? Right. Somebody mentioned, one of our listeners mentioned that, oh, you know, Spezia had that whole COVID outbreak, this and that. Yeah, they did, but that was back in July. They've actually been training pretty hard, and their past string of results have been pretty good, you know?
Yeah.
So Spezia might be fighting to stay up this year, and they might be able to pull it off.
We'll see how Spezia does against Lazio.
Yeah.
You know, if they can tie Lazio or even beat them, then...
Well, no. But I was just saying, you know, Cagliari played them well, and that's who Milan is facing this week. So to see Milan-Cagliari go up against each other, that's going to be a fun game to watch. Yeah. Juventus-Empoli, I told you, I don't even consider Empoli a Serie A team. They're a Serie B team who made it up here by the grace of God.
If they tie this game...
It won't happen.
Then I think Juve is in trouble.
It won't happen. And 2 weeks in, it's never... Nobody's
ever
in
trouble. I know.
It won't happen. Fiorentina-Torino, though, might be the game to watch. Yeah, this week's game of the week might be Fiorentina-Torino, just because those two are going to play each other extremely hard.
Yeah, I think that'll be a fun game to watch.
But all right, that concludes tonight's episode of Save FC. Well, tonight for us, maybe morning for you, afternoon, whenever you listen.
We promise this will be the last time we do a 11 o'clock record.
But listeners, we appreciate you. Please subscribe to whatever platform you're listening to us on. And make sure you follow us on Instagram.
And share. Share our podcast with your friends and family, even if they don't like football. Share it. Tell them they have to listen. Force them. Duct tape them to the chair.
Aunt needs to go to bed.
Yes.
However, make sure you follow us on Instagram too. You know, like, comment. We want to interact with you guys as much as possible. So please feel free to send us as many messages as you'd like with any questions.
Also, too, one of our listeners asked if we can dedicate a show to the ultras.
We can and we will. So that listener is actually Jeffrey.
Right.
And Jeffrey has recently found out about ultras, which he didn't realize is a, you know, portion of the fans that consider themselves the best fans, I guess.
The ultra fans.
Correct. We'll be covering a whole episode on ultras next week.
Right. And then maybe one day we'll talk about that manager over in England, Ted Lasso.
AFC Richmond, baby. These are all things to look out for coming from us to you very, very soon. We appreciate you all, and thank you for tuning in.
See you later.